Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. This is Candy, Single Mama Diva here, and I'm excited because I'm going to have some conversations with my friend, Dora, the Mystic Diva. And we've talked a few times, and I must say that I've really enjoyed her insight and her wisdom, and I just asked her to join me on, I think, just my third show for some wisdom about single parenting. And I'm going to let her introduce herself a little bit, just a little bit, since I love to hear her voice so much. Dora, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, Candy?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to have you on.
Oh, I'm so pleased to be here. I was really looking forward to it and just honored that you asked me to be on your show.
Yeah, well, you know, in listening to your show, I've heard you speak of single parenting experiences, and sometimes you don't really know. I know for me, I didn't really know I was a single parent for a while until I kind of looked up, and then I realized, wow, I'm a single parent. And even the people around you, you don't realize it because you're so used to seeing women do everything that it really looks normal that you don't even look at it as that. But once I looked at all of the women that I knew and my immediate circle, as well as people who I've never met in person, such as yourself, and when I was recalling all of my interactions, single parenting experiences was like the common thread there. So I thought that I would invite as many knowledgeable people as I possibly could to come on, and you were one of the first people that I thought about. So today we're going to talk about trusting your instincts as a single parent, and I want to know how you feel about that, and do you think that that is a place that you have to grow to, or do you think that we already have it and we just don't recognize it? What do you think the process is when it comes to trusting your instincts as a parent in general, but especially as a single parent?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, when you asked me to do this show, I went back to a time in my life when I was a single parent. When my sons, Keith and Kevin, were very, very young, I single parent about 4 years. And it was in that 4 years that I knew that I wanted to have a co-parent, especially since I had sons. And there again, I was trusting my instincts to put some things aside that were probably on my agenda before I became a parent. Well, first of all, I think I've been parenting most of my life. When I was, my mother had 17 children.
Wow.
I was part of the older group. And when you have those many children, the older group usually parent the younger ones.
Right.
So that wasn't quite foreign to me as far as basic needs. I have been put in a situation where I knew how to provide the basic needs for my sons, like making sure that they were safe. But, yeah, I took a lot of risk with my sons. I can remember one day I was at the store, and it was Keith. He was walking, I think. I can remember. He has this little yellow outfit, and I'm in one of the department stores, and I'm new to parenting.
Mm-hmm.
So I had
how old were you at the time, if
22.
You don't mind me asking?
I was 22.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 23. I may have been 23. Somewhere mm-hmm. in there. He walked early. He really got out of the way for his brother because they're very close in age. 22, 23. I'm in the store, and I tell him he's in your group, so he was a very good child.
Okay.
He really didn't need much parenting.
Right.
Okay, Keith, I want to go, Mommy wants to go over here and look at a blouse or something. So if you sit right here until I come back.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes, Mommy. And I left him sitting there, and I proceeded to go over there. Now, this was some years ago. I don't think parents should do this now in the light of the times. So I go and look, and then I just proceed to walk out of the store.
Right.
He's still sitting. And I get to the store. I get outside the store. I said, didn't I have something with me? Oh, my God, Keith. That was my intuition. That was the God within me. Because I'm new to parenting. I mean, provided being somewhat of a caregiver for my siblings were so different from me being a parent. So
right.
It was my intuition that told me, you brought something in the store. And I went, and there he was, just sitting just like a great little boy. He didn't know that I had forgotten him.
Right.
That was following my instincts that, you know, the God within me spoke up, and I remembered that I was not single anymore, even though I didn't have a partner, per se, to help me parent, like in the household. I was not single. I think that's what most people need to come to understand, that once you have a child, you are not single anymore. You're a couple.
Exactly.
With your child.
Yes, I say that all the time. It seems that when we are forced into certain situations, if we don't change our perception as to how we see it, it makes that situation harder. Because if you are thinking of yourself as single, then you'll be single. But if you're thinking of yourself as part of a group, which is how we should think anyway,
yes.
I hear you talk about it all the time. Help just comes from all kinds of unforeseen places, and it's just amazing to see how it just kind of pours out. I think I've gotten more help as a quote-unquote single parent as I did when I was married. And I don't think most of it is from pity as much as it is just from our angels and from God just seeing that we need this extra support, and it just comes, you know. So I think that I always was close to my family, so my parenting style was very interwoven, and being that I'm the baby of the family, I don't think they thought I had sense enough to parent anyway. And having Moon in Aquarius as I do, I have more of a detached style of parenting. So I kind of just talk to my kids a lot, and I let them experience natural consequences more so than my Taurus. My Taurian mother, she's very, very hands-on. And so she never really agreed in the beginning as to how I was parenting. And I kind of felt off rhythm when I was around her, not in a bad way, but in more of a way of, well, maybe I just need to kind of get out of the way. Because she's making me feel like I can't really trust my instincts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had kind of let her just kind of come in, you know, and just kind of do things the way she wanted to do. And then when she would leave, I would do things the way I wanted to do. And it wasn't until I think I moved here to Cleveland about a year. It's been a year now, and I've been with my kids away from home, and she came to visit, and for the first time she was able to see my parenting style from an objective standpoint, and she was just in awe, as if to say, wow, you're doing a great job. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, if you just allowed me to trust my own instinct, if she had trusted my instincts. And I think that's where I got that from, was we all have the ability to do that. Now, you can't deny your parents' way of raising you. I can't deny my parents' way of raising me. But don't you agree that you have your own rhythm with your own children that kind of just fits?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
It's a different energy. It's a unique energy from the way my parents... My mother had a... My mother would... both of my parents were influenced by Aquarius. And their style of parenting was kind of like yours and mine.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got into doing the profiles, I could see how one's blueprint profile it even plays out in the way you parent. And since both of my parents' Venuses were in Aquarius, they kind of had that hands-off, detached kind of way of parenting, and they showed up when you really need them.
Mm-hmm.
They taught a lot of parables. You know, they'd give us these
right.
these sayings. Like, my mother would say things like, "I am not going to do your daubing for you."
Mm-hmm.
Sister often said, "We should write a book, but I ain't going to do your daubing." So, and what my mother simply meant was that I'm not going to think for you.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Now, how did that? Now, when you're talking about that many children, that's like a whole other show, okay?
Okay, yes.
That's like a lot. I think that's another thing that I want to talk about is, you know, we talk about, oh, you treat all kids the same. You really can't treat all of your children the same. I think that's like an impossible thing to do. And in large families, I know that my grandmother comes from a really large family. And I noticed that in large families, the roles kind of get intertwined like you were speaking of earlier. My grandmother was more like the mother to her siblings as well. Mm-hmm. And it kind of produced some unmet needs in her that we see now that we, at first, we didn't understand it because she made a lot of sacrifices and things like that when it came to her siblings. You know, she was the one that didn't finish school and she was the one that didn't get to do a lot of things. So when we're talking about trusting our instincts, at what point do you allow yourself to have your children become responsible? Would that depend on, because a lot of parents struggle with this. Now, when you have that many children and when you're talking about another day and time, children had a lot more responsibility than children do now. And a lot of the times we frown upon that, but for some reason, it seems, now that we're seeing the results of children not having enough responsibility, I think I would kind of lean more towards giving them more responsibility than not enough, because the children now, it just seems as though if you leave them to their own devices, they really have a hard time thinking for themselves more so in certain situations. I'm not sure if you know what I mean by that, but they kind of just are looking for so much guidance, whereas when my mom tells me how she grew up and my grandmother tells me how they grew up, they didn't have as much guidance as we do today.
No. Well, you know, your parents and my parents were not, they couldn't turn the TV on. They didn't have video games. They had to think. Now all children are told, they're told what to think, how to solve problems. They're not given the boundaries or the necessary guidance. And it's not always just a parent, because children need a village. They need a community. And one person is not going to parent a child. You can't. In fact, you can't do anything alone on in this planet the way it is now. So children are not given enough boundaries, and they're left to their own, I say their own devices or their own where they are in their heads. And if my child has been given the TV as a babysitter at a young age, then I don't, and I'm not involved. So, there again, it goes back to acceptance. I am a parent. And what does that mean? What does it look like? Whether you have someone in the house with you or not, it's accepting that I am a parent. What does that mean to me?
And right.
And I think that's why we can't leave children. They get into trouble more than they did when I was growing up, even with my sons and in your generation, because there were not a lot. There were no internet. You know, you
right.
police them about don't go on that site. There were not HBO. It's just more now. So parents really have to be more hands-on than they did when your mom was parenting and when I was parenting, because it's just so much more for them to, so many diversions now that can
so,
take away.
So you would say it's more, because I've always struggled with this, parents need to spend more time. So it's not necessarily that they need to spend more time. It's more so the idle time, the quality of the idle time that we have today is a lot more absorbing and dangerous mm-hmm. left to the children's powers, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's more destructive.
Okay. Because I just never remembered my mom and dad spending that much time with me. And, I mean, they were there, but I don't remember them spending that much time with me. I don't remember them making me do my homework. I remember them being available, and I never felt like I needed a lot of attention, which I think would go back to the child's personality. I was the type of child where I really didn't want anybody standing over me. So if you just tell me what you want me to do, I'll go ahead and do it and get it out of the way so I won't have to hear all of this stuff. You know, all children are not that way. So when I think of time, we're in this place where, especially as single parents, that whole demographic has just skyrocketed. A lot of people now are choosing to be single parents, which I wouldn't recommend. I understand where the desire may come from when people get frustrated with the state of relationships today, but I never would choose that. Even now, my children's father and I have come together quite tightly. Our families are still very close. So I can't imagine feeling as if I was doing this all alone with, like what you said, with the TV and the internet and the video games. And I struggle with that because their father buys them all of that. I never spend a dime on it. But if they want it, their dad will get them all. They have iPods. Son has every video game and everything. I've never bought one of them. And their dad is not as much of a disciplinarian as I am, and so he thinks they should just have whatever they want. Well, he's all the way in D.C. I'm all the way in Cleveland. So you know, if I come downstairs and I'm saying, well, you know, Evan, it's time for you to get off of the video game. And, well, I haven't been on it that long. Well, I'm looking at his eyes, Dora, and his pupils are dilated, and I know whatever's going on is in there deeply. You can even see the difference in the way that the kids look in their eyes today. They're not present.
Yeah.
And so what do you suggest when you have a when you are a single parent, but at the same time their other parent is involved, and your instincts are telling you this is just too much, and their instinct is telling them, well, they should be able to enjoy it because my son gets good grades, and he feels like because my son does what he's supposed to do, that he deserves these things as gifts. I don't agree, because I think that when you do what you're supposed to do, you get natural gifts. You know, if you do your homework when you grow up, you know, you'll get a good job, or however God sees fit to reward you. When you do these things, all these other things are going to be added to you. I don't think I have to come in and just bear gifts to you because you've done your homework. That's just my philosophy, but that's not his. So how do you, I know that's a difficult question because that's kind of like an individual thing, but I'm still going to ask you, when you have your instincts telling you that one thing needs to be done and then another parent is saying, no, this needs to be done, a medium, how do you kind of come in the middle with that?
Well, that's a great question. Of course, you don't have a great answer. What comes to mind, first of all, is to see the is for the parent to really see that they are partners. So that there's communication. There's a communication problem here, or a communication opportunity for the parents to talk about. So now you've got to talk about each other's philosophy and truth and beliefs as individuals, because as who we are as individuals always feed what we're going to contribute to another person, be it a son, you know, a group, that's in a group, or your daughter. So to know what your partners, whether you're in the same house or not, because, see, you're both parenting, so you got to see this as a partnership.
Right.
You're parenting, and you have a product here. And the product, just for this conversation, the product is a children. So what is a health, are we going to have a healthy product here in the next 15 years? Are we going to be pleased with our product? So even though the son is making good grades, a parent must know that video games for entertainment, well, this is a gift, for a child should come with boundaries.
Right.
How long you can play your game. And it has nothing to do with you getting a good grade. You get a good grade anyway. We don't reward you for getting good grades.
Exactly.
Okay. But see, that's something that you and your parent partner have to discuss. Because now there's an opportunity for the two of you to talk about his views on parenting. When they come to your house, are they visiting? Are you really parenting? So sometimes one parent is a babysitter. They're not really parenting.
Right.
And this is what I tell guys, especially guys. I think women pretty, most times the female end up with the children as the main caregiver when there's a separation. This is very, very important. I told a client when I was coaching him, he was getting ready to get a divorce. I said, so are you going to turn to the babysitter when they come to your house? Are you the babysitter, or will you continue to be the parent?
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you really want to be the parent, you're going to do a lot of sacrificing. There's a lot of things you got to give up, because when you're parenting, you give up a lot of things. So you may not want to move that far away from your children. You may want to live close by them. And when they come to your home, they don't need to feel like they are visiting. They need to feel that I have my own bed, I have my own room, just like they were with you all the time. So are you parenting or are you a weekend babysitter? And most guys are the weekend babysitter.
Right.
So they'll fill the children up with gifts, because a little gift going on there, you know. But then
exactly.
They send all these things back to the parent because they're the babysitter.
Right.
Like when you get the babysitter come over and babysit the kids, babysitter unless the parent says, don't let them stay up past 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
As a teenager, you know, she's on the phone with her boyfriend. She's got headphones on. She's into her iPod. And if they don't do anything to kill them sleep.
Right.
Babysitter's just watching TV, chewing gum, eating pizza. And the kids mm-hmm. have a ball. And that's what a lot of people do when they are not living with the children. They're the babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? So is he the babysitter?
I get exactly. Yeah, and that's exactly right. And that was one thing. Now, if I say something, he'll comply, but at the same time, it just kind of polarizes the fact that I'm the tyrant and he's the clown. You know, they get to go to the circus for a little while, you know. So,
Right.
Yeah. Now we have about 33 minutes, and I only made this show an hour as opposed to like you do for 2 hours, and I knew that I was going to want to talk to you longer, but I said I was just going to just pace myself because, as you know, my struggle was to even get on here in the first place on a consistent basis. So
doing good.
We're going to talk about dating, and that's a long story, but we're just going to just touch on that because we're going to come back on another episode and talk about single parenting and dating.
Okay.
That was a long, 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 long time before I got married at 21. I was divorced at 31. I dated between the ages of 31 and 37, completely under the table, undercover, so to speak,
okay.
If you want to talk about that. I did not let my kids meet or see, you know, anyone that I was dating until just recently. And they've been extremely receptive, and it worked out better than what I thought. You know, when you're used to disappointment in relationships, it becomes comfortable because it kind of gives you a way out. And then when you finally stumble upon something that kind of works, you're forced to go to the next level in which you didn't have to go to because somebody always kind of messed up first and you kind of got out cheap. You know, you kind of was like, oh, well, it didn't work out because they did this or because they did that, even though, you know, it takes two to do to make it or break it. Well, when it comes time to go to that next level, you're a single parent, and all of the boundaries that you once had kind of come down, but yet you're not ready to go to that place of marriage and, you know, or anything like that, and people feel like, well, you have children, you need to get married, and you don't want to date in front of them, and you know, all of this kind of stuff. So then you have all of these other values and things that come into place. Now, again, we're still talking about our instincts. What are some of the things that you need to look at to gauge or test the temperature of your dating choices or your dating philosophy as a single parent, because we know they're all different for everyone, but I think that there are certain things that we can look at to help guide us. What would you suggest in that area?
Okay, first of all, I would think it has a lot to do with the age of the children.
Mm-hmm.
I have this thing that I tell my clients, don't have a revolving door.
Right.
That means that your children see you with someone this month and next month as someone else and the next month as someone else. Clearly, that's something that you want to have some boundaries with before you introduce your children to someone that you're interested in. You want to make sure that that person is going to be around, and not so much being around that you're going to make it's a binding contract between the two of you. But you don't want... You want to meet the guy at the service station and bring him home and a child with a date. and somebody come out of the bedroom that they hadn't been formally introduced to. Okay,
right.
That's one scenario. And a lot of times that happens. And children begin to act out, too, when that's happening a lot with them. Children get, children are very loving. Until they are taught to be mean, they are not mean. They're very accepting. I don't think children are naive. Children really work on their instincts. So if you want to know about instincts, children are good people to pay attention
mm-hmm.
to. So I think boundaries, number one, you've already established some boundaries of your boundaries as it relates to how you parent. And then there are boundaries of that you share with the person that you're interested in. I usually say, you know, I got this, I don't think it's old-fashioned. I think it's good sense. I think you should know somebody at least 6 months before you go to bed with them. That's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should just go roughing on the sheets with someone you just met. And I know when
mm-hmm.
women get menopausal, that's kind of difficult to do because, you know, it's like from 35 to 50, it's like open season, you know. And that's
yeah.
a difficult kind of be parenting, too, because somebody's competing with the children. And it's
right.
part of the libido because hormones are just everywhere. So you got single
yeah.
parents, if hormones are everywhere, if you're perimenopausal, menopausal, or if you're at that stage where everything is still sleep,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
okay, then you got different sets of boundaries. So it's kind of case by case. The children, the age of the children has to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
Person, is this person just to get the edge off? If it is, go to a hotel. Nobody needs to know.
Right.
Don't even bring them home. Mama don't even need to know. Tell your girlfriend in case she needs to know where you are too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just certain things you don't even want your children to even know if the person is not going to hang around. So you're building a relationship, a connection with someone that you feel is going to hang around. And then I think you can, with appropriate boundaries that you set with your children and with this person that you're interested in, because you have to have a lot of conversation. I'm big on conversation. I'm big on us talking and not just assuming. Let's talk.
Mm-hmm.
Even if
right.
I'm something, if my intuition is telling me something, I'm not going to just act on intuition. You know, you have to put your head and your heart together.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk a lot. So boundaries, no revolving doors, no pick up the guy at the service station and the children wake up in the morning and they hadn't formally been introduced. How much do you have in common?
Right.
You have to have some things you've already talked about, philosophy, true. And this is what I suggest to parents, people that are finding themselves with one-parent homes. That's what I usually call them. You know, this is just one parent in his home. Got another parent, but we're partnering in two different houses.
Mm-hmm.
This is the rule that I always say. You're better off if you find someone that's also parenting. You know, I'm not parenting. I don't know what you're telling me. I can't see you because you got the children. Cut. So I'm not looking
right.
for someone that's parenting. So now I need
right.
to have someone that we got something in common with. And
mm-hmm.
if they're both parenting, I'm not talking about one babysitting, but if
mm-hmm.
we're both parenting, we got that in common. Then you can, usually after a certain length of time, you can come together and you can share the children. Because after all, if you're parenting, that is top of the list. Now, a lot of people don't put it top of the list. But it's the top of the list.
It's
when
the top.
It is. When I started parenting, all of my Daisy Duke stuff went, I nailed her on the wall. I'm serious, because that was too much. And I thank God that I had older women in my life that reminded me. See, this is what you need, like people like me in your life. Like, don't wear that. Don't sit in front of your son with that on. Pull that off. And I had this
mm-hmm.
in my life. This woman told me once, I had met this gal, so cute. I was looking just, and I'm going by her house, going to introduce my new boyfriend. I was just like typical 22. And she says, Dora, who is that? And I said, oh, this is blah, blah, blah. And this is what she told me. She says, Dora, you have plenty of time for that later.
Mm-hmm.
Her. You want wisdom. You want people around you that have had the experience. Don't think that they envy of you because they old now.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff still works, but we got sense with it now. So benefit.
Right.
So if the libido is not dictating, that's another thing. You can't let that be the main course when you're babysitting. I mean, when you're parenting. You can't
mm-hmm.
if you're babysitting, lock the kids in the room and... Boundaries, communication, what do we have in common when we start dating, and when we're going to introduce the children to you, where are we going to be, where are we, where are you, where are my children, what are their ages, are they too fragile, are they still think dad and I are going to get back together? This is just a lot there that has
right.
to be considered. But I think the main thing is to make sure that the person that you're interested in, first of all, that it's mutual. And you have some things in common, that he's also parenting and she's also parenting.
Mm-hmm.
There's compassion there when they tell you I can't keep the date, the babysitter didn't show up. They understand. They say, well,
right.
children. Don't tell me that. But,
exactly.
40 years ago you could have told me that.
Mm-hmm.
40 years later you can't tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't, those are not my, I'm not in that situation anymore.
Oh, you sound so free. Oh, you sound so free. I'm like, okay. Dora's like, oh, I don't have to worry about that anymore.
I was like, okay, I wonder if he's going to like them. I wonder if they're going to like him. Oh my God. So I don't have to do it. But 40 years ago, 38 years ago, my son now is 39. That was very much on my plate. And I made sure I dated guys that were parenting.
Right.
I didn't date guys that didn't parent. They were not going to get it. Why?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need to get it. You know, the most we were going to have was like, I'm hot and bothered. Where can we meet?
Mm-hmm.
In my house. So.
Exactly.
And I couldn't continue to do that. Thank God for busybody older women in my life that
mm-hmm.
did not care whether they hurt him, that they hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care. When you get a certain age, you know, all bets are off. You just say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She was not a relative. She was a business owner. And she said, you got time for that later.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really looking for the time for later.
Right.
Oh, I can do that later. I hope I'm alive and healthy. Please don't fail me. I got something to live.
Well, that's another thing, you know, Dora. It's like you don't have to worry about it failing you, but now you have to worry about the men and they're failing you, because I'm looking at the age factor as well. When you're talking, since we're on this topic, and both my parents are 73,
mm-hmm.
my sisters are in their 50s. My mom and dad had me later because they thought I was going to be a boy, and I wasn't. So, my mom, it seems as though she's getting younger as she gets older.
Yes.
And my dad, he seems to be getting older as he gets older.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see such a gap. My mom's actually 3 months older than he is. Now, let me add to that my mom and father, they stayed together. They did the typical thing, waited until we were out of high school, and then she divorced them. So although I wasn't a product of a single-parent home, I did witness her go through that short period because my mom is old school. She wasn't going to stay single long. I saw her go through that short period in, I think she was 50 actually, when she started dating and remarried. And her present husband is 3 years younger than her. So he's just turning 70 and she's 73. So here she has these two men who are younger than who's younger than she is. And she's still running around exercising every day and doing all kinds of things. She weighs less than I do. She looks great. She sounds great. still soft and supple, so I know everything is working, you know.
Yes.
And here are the men who seem to be dwindling away. And that's another fear that I have, and I'm thinking, okay, my mom always tells me, as she got older, well, you might want to date a little younger because they tend to, you know, and she kind of would say without saying, you know, like she was trying to tell me, well, I'm thinking, well, do I need to, you know, throw in the towel now and commit, you know, because I'm looking at my mom and it kind of runs in the family. My grandmother's 93 and I'm thinking, wow, if they're doing this well, what do you have to look forward to if the men, and I look at men because men are not taught to take care of their body. They're not even aware of their bodies. Men, as soon as we have our babies, we know we're vulnerable. When I was 23 years old with my first son, I knew there were certain things I couldn't really, I had to move a certain way. I had to walk a certain way. I had turned into a woman, and I was aware of my vulnerabilities, whereas men get to a point where they don't even know of their vulnerabilities until they throw their backs out. And then when they feel like they can't move anymore or do certain things, they haven't practiced alternative ways of living like women have, you know, and they have a hard time overcoming certain things. So being a single parent and in the dating field, I'm running into guys ready to get married. You know, oh, I want to get married, I want to get married. Whereas when we were younger, we were trying to marry. They weren't ready. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm a single parent. I'm on a different cycle. I don't want to get married, you know. So how you deal with that, knowing that I know that you've come through that period, where you don't want to get married.
No.
And I'm not saying it might not come back around, but I feel more, I got my tubes tied at 28. I feel more like I would have another baby before I got married. But I'm not feeling the marriage thing.
Well, usually the benefit of most marriages is usually the male because in this system. The system the way it is now, as the system collapsed, our system is collapsing. The system we've had in place for eons. Men as a whole, when it comes to health, from my experience, and I've dealt with all types, you know, I've had one legal contract. I have shared space with several men. And I'm a youthful type person.
Yes, you are.
Okay, open mind.
You really are. You're like 20 years at least, like behind. You're not.
Yes.
You could very well date in the 40s and the 30s. I mean, really, you really could.
They're very attracted to me. And In fact, someone asked me, why don't you just come on back down the ladder door and date younger guys?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know. This is there's a mindset that I'm looking for. There's a the quality. And I'm not saying that young guys don't have the quality because they do. There is what I'm saying, age does not really matter. He can be 100 if he is youthful and he is open. I know the guys in their 30s are very close-minded and they won't grow. So age is not that much of a factor for me. He must be open-minded, fun-loving, freedom, love to laugh, but most of all, open-minded, healthy. You know, healthy on all levels, emotional, spiritual, physical, and mental. If he has that healthy, open-minded attitude. Now, I got a flirt Saturday. I was working with someone. He said, are you the one I'm looking for? Well, who knows? And he's like 40. He's in my soul group, so he's the early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So what I find that with the, say, the men my age, they retire too quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why men like to, the older they get, some of them want to marry because they kind of played out. And when I say played out, they kind of worn out too.
Mm-hmm.
They have not preserved themselves. They have their libido. They think, a lot of guys think that when women go through the stages of menopause, and that's a good show for us to have, when they go through stages of menopause, we're switching, but we are not shutting down.
Exactly.
And we can continue to get a clitoris erection whenever we want to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is they seem to have the idea based on what this system has taught them that women seem to wear out. We don't wear out.
Mm-mm.
We don't give out. We don't retire. That part of us is still as vibrant as it were when we were the first time we knew that it was working. But
right.
What happens when a woman goes through menopause, especially if she does not get on drugs. Now, if she got on drugs, she got an addiction. When I said drugs, is anything to try to keep her from having a hot flash that's unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
She's coming. That's a whole different woman over there. But those of us that did not do this, what we get is that wisdom comes up. Every hot flash we have, we revisit every emotion that we did not let come out. That's what the flash is about. Menopause is about those hormones that we suppressed. They said, now, are you going to look at me? You know, you couldn't say that when you were 20. You couldn't say that when you were 30. Will you say it now? Are you okay with your body now? Are you okay with the way you look now? You suppressed that before. You were competing with God knows who. Who you were competing with. Because I always say women usually dress for other women. Rarely do they dress for guys. Guys don't compliment you. Girlfriends will compliment you. That hairstyle looks good. That look good on you. Guys are just like, can you pull it off? How some
That's right.
But
that's so true.
Like your female friends like, girl, you should wear that color more often. That really accentuates you. And there's no how quick I can get you to the bed. That's the only reason why I'm getting the compliment. So to answer your question, guys have this age factor in their head. If they could erase the age factor and go to no age and do a forgiveness on every time you use your libido and you knew that it was all about just the libido, you didn't connect anywhere with the woman. So, you know, your life is going to punish you later because you took advantage of some woman's emotion. So your stuff's going to stop working.
That's
and
right.
You got to look at it. It's all tied to your emotion and your philosophy. So stop retiring. And then there's another thing guys do that's older. They love phone sex. What's that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Get off the phone and let's go on a date.
Right.
That's
right.
The whole internet dating thing is the old guys' phone sex. I had one going to, I know we off the subject, one going to do phone sex with me. I said, oh, wait a minute. What's that mean?
Right,
right. Do I look like I'm interested in phone sex with you? I don't even know you exist. Phone sex with you. So it's a matter of they need to come out of hiding, deal with their emotions that they suppress just like we did, and get on.
Well, I found that women learn how, and this can be good or bad, but I find that it works. However, women tend, we only have 10 minutes, which I hate, but women tend to be able to work and rework and rework a bad situation. Whereas if something happens with a male in his emotional psyche or something doesn't go his way, he doesn't seem to be able to have those alternative ways of dealing. And as a single parent, I have noticed that I think that's one of the only things that I've run into that has been kind of discouraging is that when your man runs into a problem, it seems like it's up to the female to come up with all of the innovative ways. Oh, you can do this, and, you know, this is another way that you can look at that, and this is a, you know. And that's one of the things I'm trying to teach my son is, you know, develop more than one way of seeing life, because it's going to always go your way. You know, and when it doesn't go your way, you have to do like you see mommy do, because see, he's seen his dad blaze a path to go one way, and you know, caught up on substance abuse and different things like that. In spite of him being a great dad, he allowed his disappointments to send him off of his path instead of saying, hey, I have other choices. Now, I'm not saying females don't do that too, but I think that's something that we need to teach our sons more of, so that when they get boyfriends and things like that, they will be able to, I mean, girlfriends, they won't have to put that burden on that woman to help them get out of their problems. I'm seeing that even with my nephews. You know, it's the woman that's saying, you know, baby, you need to go to school. And, you know, they're like in their 20s. You need to do this and you need to do that. And that was something that turned me off when I really started dating. You know, I don't want to do that. But I'm seeing that that's something that women tend to do.
Well, you have to, I think, several things. A female has to choose not to parent.
Right.
Okay, you just choose. If he's still parenting, then he needs to go back home to his parents. I don't care if he's 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And having that communication and knowing if he's a man that talks about choices, he talks about ideals and ideas. If he's open, that being open to communicate your philosophy, your views, you know, a lot of people say, well, I won't discuss this. Why not? Why, you know, so I don't discuss religion. I don't discuss politics. Those are just your views.
Mm-hmm.
You're afraid to put your views on the table. So then it probably goes back to a childhood thing where their views were not welcome. Children need to be seen and not heard, that kind of thing.
Right.
Guys, males, I find, not all of them, because I've found some that I was very fortunate in my dating, that they, you know, I met one guy, he was up for discussion of everything, even more than
mm-hmm.
I was. You know, he was
mm-hmm.
always, everything was up, you know, he was bit by bit, bubble. he discussed everything, and I love that with him. I think he was by far the most memorable guy that I dated. Because
mm-hmm.
communication was there. He always saw choices. He didn't want me to parent him. I didn't want to parent him. I don't want to parent a guy.
Right.
I don't want to remind you to take your medicine.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
I don't remind you to get up in the morning. I don't.
And eat.
And eat.
Yeah.
No, I don't. You know, then I'm your mother. And I think that's the thing that turned guys off too. About the physical attraction, the day you decide to become his mother,
right?
Telling him what he should and should not do,
right?
He's not going to be that attracted to you anymore. So you got to choose, lover,
right.
Guru, or mother, teacher,
mm-hmm.
parent, somebody that I intend to share in between the sheets with. I am not going to parent you. So if I feel that you need to be parented. Cut.
Exactly. That's right. That's right, Dar. That's where I was getting. That's where I was getting to, and I think it starts early. And mothers teaching their sons
mm-hmm.
to be independent. And my son comes to me now and says, you know, what should I do? I say, what do you think you should do?
Yes, that was my
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not, I can't, And it's different because I come from a family full of girls where you don't really ruin girls as easily as you can boys to a degree. And I had to learn how not to parent like my mother parented us because it was all girls. And she would tell us what to do, and we would listen, but we would still do what we wanted to do. But I know with boys, if you tell them everything to do, they really come back and look for you to tell them the next thing to do. They never really pick up the baton and run with it like a girl does.
We have a way of that independence thing there about us. Something kicks in. It's that yin and yang, that mother-father, that feminine masculine seems to, in little girls, you see, it's okay for a little girl to act out because, you know, our culture is okay with little girls wearing pants. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay with little boys wearing a dress.
True.
So, you know, so we got, they seem to be disadvantaged on certain things unless, because they're going to get labeled if they do, but I'm wearing pants now. I'm not going to get a label. But if a guy walks out here with a dress on, hey. So you can, I always cut them some slack because it seems like
right.
Our system has given them a trick film.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
So it's just like if they can't comb their hair a certain way, we can go, we can cut ours off, we can cut our hair off, we can wear it long, but let them wear long hair. It's like, we can put on earrings. I mean, we can adorn ourselves in any way we want to. But they seem to have a rigid kind of what's appropriate and what isn't. And our culture has done this. So we get to this galactic, we go to being these galactic beings and we all get on our Star Trek uniform. It won't matter. But right now, the guys are kind of restricted. And I'm sending them some kisses. I understand. I raised two boys.
Right. Well, we have like 3 minutes, 2 minutes left, and I'm gonna let the listeners down gently because this is just a fun conversation, but it's informative. We've packed a lot in this one little hour, and I want you to just give one short inspirational thought to the single parents that are listening. I will be posting this to my blog so people will be listening as soon as they log on to www.singlemamadiva.com and just give us something to just take us through to another week, another day.
Okay. First of all, trust your instincts. That means what you feel. And also couple that with your thoughts. You know, thoughts are things, what you believe and what you think. So trust in your instincts. It's also about having enough wisdom, enough information. Accept where you are, what it is that you're really doing. Being a parent in a household and you're just one in there, really accept that and know that you created that. And be okay with that. And then God will continue to give you the wisdom to parent lovingly and effectively.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Dora, for taking the time out to give us some of your mystic diva wisdom. And I want everybody to know that they can reach you at inspirationscoop.com, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to have you on again. Do you agree to that?
I agree. Just let me know. This has been a blast. I don't have to hurt.
Okay.
I love being the guest.
Okay. Well, until next time, you take it easy. Of course, I'll be emailing you and stop by the blog. I got Susan to come on to the blog. She's going to be a writer on the little business section.
Great.
So I need you to come on there because I'm looking for some people like you all to just kind of just make this place a really nice place for everybody to gather, okay?
Okay.
Oh,
good.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. I love you.
I love you too, Dora. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was Dora. Wonderful conversation, as I knew it would be. Until next time, reconstruct the world by reconstructing your mind. I know you can do it. Go visit my blog, www.singlemamadiva.com, and read some of the posts up there and get inspired. Bye.